It's good to see you here today on this wet day outside. We got a good crowd today for the weather being like it is. And I'm glad you've chosen to be with us in the Lord's house of worship. I tried to decide what to preach today. This will be the last message that I'll preach before the 4th of July here. And so I wanted to kind of strike a theme along that line. And so this is my firecracker sermon for you. And I will be preaching this sermon next week at Foresight. So if you don't get it all today, you can come down to Foresight next Sunday and listen to it again. I'll be praying for you as I'll be preaching down there. The preacher down there at Foresight is leaving tomorrow, and he's going to Europe. He's going to be gone to Europe for 2 weeks. And so I will be preaching next Sunday and the Sunday after that at Foresight. And then we'll see what happens after that. I may be back here depending upon how it works out. But I'm glad you're here. And our text of Scripture we'll look at in just a moment is in John the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 36. But I must tell you a story to begin with. And this has nothing whatsoever to do with the message, but it, I think, is an interesting story. These three pastors were meeting for lunch, and they, you know, when they meet for lunch, they just had fellowship and kind of discussed church in general. And so the first pastor stood up and he said, "You know, since summer started, I've been having trouble with mice in the church." He said, "I've tried everything." He said, "I've tried noise, I've tried traps, I've tried spray, I've tried cats." And he said, "Nothing seems to scare them away." Well, the second pastor stood up and he said, "Yeah," he said, "me too. We've got a problem just like you." He says, "I've got hundreds of mice living in the basement of the church." He says, "I've tried everything just like you. I've even called an expert to get rid of them. And yet they still won't go away." With a grin on his face, the third pastor said, "I've had the same problem too, so what I did is I baptized all the mice and made them members of the church, and he said I haven't seen them back since." What a story. What a story. And it's with that that we share with you our text of Scripture. The title of the message today is Freedom Truths, and we're going to explore that here in just a second. But turn your Bibles to John chapter 8, verses 31 through, did I put 38 up there or 36? I put 36, okay. 31 through 36 will be our text for our Scripture. So I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. And it reads in this fashion, verse 31, beginning of verse 31. "Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine.'" That is, if you make your abode, my word, otherwise where you live every day, he said, if you do that, then you're truly disciples of mine. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth of God's word will make you free. Isn't that good news this morning? That's it. "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's offspring and never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, you shall become free? Jesus answered them with this truth. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And so, you know, we're going to be dealing with that in our message today, and that is true freedom comes in Christ. And we don't want to be slaves to the devil. We don't want to be slaves to sin. And we want to be set free. And if we will abide by the truth, if we will believe the truth, if we will obey the truth, then we can be set free from the slavery of sin. And I could probably stop right there and offer the invitation and it would be all right. But I've got more to say. He says that a slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. That's important. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, with that scripture as a launching pad for what I want to say, I would say this by way of introduction. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plains. She is still the most beautiful country in the world. She is still the home of the free and the brave. She is still, even with all of her problems, even with all of her shortcomings, she is still the best place to live in the world. On July the 4th, 1776, the 13 colonies claimed their independence from England. And eventually, this would lead to the formation of the United States of America. Each year on the 4th of July, also known as Independence Day, Americans celebrate this historic event. And so this coming Thursday, did you know that America will be 243 years old? Please remember these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Later in the forming of the Union, the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, set forth the priceless rights of freedom that all Americans treasure, the freedom of religion, the freedom of press, and the freedom of speech, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of petition, and the right to bear arms, and several others since. And we are blessed to be free in this country, the United States of America. Can you say amen to that? And so today, we have this opportunity, and this opportunity in and of itself is the message that I want to share with you as we think about freedom truths. Now, we could talk about the freedoms that we have in America, and that would be an appropriate subject to study today. But I have chosen to talk about the freedom truths that we have in Jesus Christ. And we're going to celebrate that for the next few moments together. There's only 2 points to this message, but I'm going to warn you in advance. They're long points. And I will try to expedite this message as quickly as possible because we got a young lady that's going to church camp, and she wants to get there on time so that she can get a bunk at the church camp. And I will try to do my best to get you there, young lady. And I'm hopeful you'll have a great week in the Lord. Let's pray, and then we will share with you this message entitled Freedom Truths. Would you bow with me? Oh Lord, we thank you for your love and your care for us. We're grateful to your mercies and your grace. Lord, without you would be nothing, but because of you, we have everything that we could ever want. Lord, to have your love in our lives and to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives and to be able to have the promise of forgiveness of our sins through his blood and to be able to celebrate that even in this life and look forward to the life to come because we can look forward to spending eternity with Jesus forever and ever, amen. Amen. Two simple points. Now the first one, I've talked about this a little bit here, and I may repeat myself again today in this message. But you know what? They say to me, and being a speaker before crowds, they say to me that you need to say something at least three times before people get it through their thick skulls. And so I'm not saying that about you because I believe you're good listeners and you've always been so gracious to listen to my preaching. And I pray that God will bless you again. But here's the first point. The first point of my message about freedom truths is this. Freedom in Christ is not free. Now here's what I want to say about that. Freedom in Jesus is not free. But freedom in Jesus is free to us. Think about how special that is. Freedom in Jesus is free to you and to me. It costs us nothing. Zero. Our salvation is free for the taking. We can do nothing to merit it. We can do nothing to earn it. We can do nothing to buy it. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 8 and 9 puts it this way. It says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And the book of Romans, the third chapter, verse 23 through 26, Paul puts it this way. He says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, and declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that the might be just and the justifier which believeth in Jesus." Do you realize that today that you have freedom in Jesus from your sins and it is absolutely, completely, definitely free to you? This man died and he came before the gates of heaven. And there, as plain as day, there was a sign over the gates of heaven which read, "Entrance requirement, 1,000 points. Well, he knocked on the door and St. Peter appeared, and the man asked St. Peter about the meaning of the sign. And St. Peter said, "Well, tell me, what have you done on earth to merit your entrance into heaven?" Well, the man kind of straightened up his coat and he began to recount his service in the church. And he talked about all the different things he'd done for the church. And St. Peter says, "That's good." He said, "That's worth 1 point." And he said to the man, he said, "What else have you done?" And so the man began to straighten his coat back up again. He said, He mentioned his attendance. He said, I have been faithful to the church in attendance. He said, I go to Sunday school every time they have Sunday school. He said, I go to the church meeting every time they have it, Sunday morning, Sunday night. He says, I go on Wednesday nights. He says, I never miss. He says, I've got the bars to prove it. St. Peter said, that's worth one more point. This guy's beginning to sweat. St. Peter said, what else have you done? He said, I've helped the preacher every time the preacher needs help. You know, I've helped him set up chairs for fellowship meetings. He said, I've helped him call on the sick in the hospitals. He says, I've helped him with evangelistic calls when we go evangelistic calling. And he said, I've just done everything I could possibly do. St. Peter said, well, he said, let's see. He said, that's another point. He said, now let's add it up and see where you stand. 3 minus 1,000, he said, you're 997 points short. Is there anything else that you want to say? And the guy he's flabbergasted. He's speechless. Finally, he musters up enough courage to say, he said, that entrance requirement's really tough. He said, I don't see how anybody could make it but for the grace of God. Oh, said St. Peter, that's worth 997 points. You see, it's free to us. But this freedom in Jesus, don't you miss this. This freedom in Jesus is not free to Jesus. It's not free to Jesus. While salvation is free to us, it costs us nothing. It cost Him everything. If you were to take the term grace and take each letter, you could spell it out this way. God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, one of the greatest verses in all the Bible says, He made Him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that through Him we might become the righteousness of God. In Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 7, it says it like this. In the prophet Isaiah's words, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Do you hear that this morning? By His stripes we are healed. Don't you ever forget that freedom that we have from our sins, while it's free to us, it costs Him everything. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. On the cross, Jesus accomplished our salvation through His precious blood. He died for our sins, and His dying words upon the cross were these, tetelestai, which means it is finished. And to translate that literally, you know what it means? It's been paid in full. Stories told about Farilla La LaGuardia. When he was mayor of New York City during the worst days of the Great Depression, was called by adoring New Yorkers the Little Flower. They called LaGuardia the Little Flower. Because he was a colorful character who used to ride the New York City fire trucks, and he would raid speakeasies with the police department, and he'd take entire orphanages to baseball games. And whenever the New York newspapers were on strike, he would go on the radio and read the Sunday funnies to the kids. One bitterly cold night in January of 1935, the mayor turned up at night court that served the poorest ward in the city, and LaGuardia dismissed the judge for the evening, and he took over the bench himself. Within a few minutes, a tattered old woman was brought before the bench, before the mayor, and charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her, and her daughter was sick and had two grandchildren that were starving. But the shopkeeper from which the bread was stolen refused to drop the charges, saying, "It's a real bad neighborhood, Your Honor. She's got to be punished to teach others, people around here, a lesson." LaGuardia let out a big sigh. Then he turned to the woman and he said, "I've got to punish you, and the law makes no exceptions. That will be $10 or 10 days in jail." But even as he was pronouncing the sentence, the mayor was already reaching into his pocket. And he extracted a bill, a $10 bill, and he tossed it into his famous sombrero, and he said, "Here's the $10 fine which I now remit, and furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that their grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." So the following day, the New York newspaper reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered old lady that had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. 50 cents of that amount being contributed by a red-faced grocery store owner, while some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and New York City policemen, each of whom had just paid 50 cents for the privilege of doing so. And they all, at the end, gave the mayor a standing ovation. You're free in Jesus because He was willing to pay the price. He was willing to peel out that $10 bill and lay it down and pay the price for our sins. And when you think about freedom in Jesus, we ought to give our Lord a standing ovation. That's point one. Point number two. This freedom that we have in Jesus is freedom from some things, but it's also freedom for some things. So let me share with you what it is as quickly as I can. It's freedom from the following: the debt of sin. And that's important. That's so important. Because the Bible says, "No one is righteous, no, not one." We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we all have the problem. It also says in Romans, the 6th chapter, and verse 23, the debt is this: "For the wages of sin is death." Did you get that? The wages of sin is death. Not just physical death. We're talking about a different kind of death here. We're talking about a serious problem of spiritual death that we have as a result of our sins. If we don't take care of the problem and if we don't turn to Jesus, then we will die spiritually. We'll be separated from God forever and ever. But the rest of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The second death, which is mentioned in Revelation, the 21st chapter and verse 8, which is eternal separation from God. Jesus died for our sins. He demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He paid the penalty, ransoming our souls. His life for our life. The blood atonement, as is described in the Scriptures. He has removed the sting of death. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 52 through 57, we have the picture in that passage of Scripture of the glorious scene at the resurrection. We're all looking forward to the resurrection. All of us who are in Christ, we're looking forward to the resurrection body that we'll have in Christ. And it goes like this. Here's the Scripture. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Ah, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death has been defeated by Jesus Christ. The debt of sin has been canceled. Can you sing it? Oh, victory in Jesus. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. The debt of sin is eliminated. The death sentence is gone in the blood of Jesus Christ. Second thing that we are freed from. We're freed from the dominion and the bondage of sin. In Christ, the domain, the power, the possession of sin is gone. You realize that it's gone? Romans the 6th chapter and verse 14, in the great passage describing our baptism into Christ, one of the wonderful benefits is this: for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace. Thank you, Lord, for sin no longer has the upper hand on me. I'm free from its abode over me. In addition, we also no longer are in the bondage of sin. Galatians the 5th chapter and verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. In Romans 8 chapter verses 14 through 15 it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, and you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. Think about it, this freedom statement, led by the Spirit, adopted into the family of God. He, the Almighty, is your Father. Freedom from bondage of fear. Sin no longer has a stranglehold on your life. You are free, free, free to live in Jesus. It doesn't get any better than that. And then you're freed from the burden of guilt. And that's something we all have. Because we're all sinners. No one is righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Before Christ, we're guilty as charged. After Jesus, we're not guilty. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new. With Christ as our Savior, God has forgiven, forgotten forever our sins, cast into the depths of the sea, removed as far as the east is from the west our sins from us. He remembers them no more. If only we could do the same. And then we are also freed from the devil's power. It is diminished. When you become a Christian, realize that he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. You are no match against Satan alone, but praise God, you are not alone. You have the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the powerful Spirit, and Satan is no moss against the Spirit of Christ. We are further encouraged with the words of James, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 8, which says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Remember how Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness. Do you remember? He fought off the devil with the Word of God, the powerful Word of God. And we need to be like David, who said, "Thy word, Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You want to be free in Christ? You want to be free in His Word? Well, that's the freed from. Now, I've just got one little point left. Bear with me here. It's worth staying and listening to. We're freed from, but we're freed for. We're freed toward. Did you know in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 43 through 45, Jesus tells a parable about the person who has an evil spirit that vacates from his body, leaving an empty dwelling, an empty house, and swept clean, as it says in the Scripture in Jesus' parable. Then, the rest of the parable says, if that empty place is not filled up, when the evil spirit comes back again, comes back visiting again, guess what? He'll reoccupy the empty space and bring seven more spirits with him. Now here's the point. When we become Christians, we empty out the evil and we fill it with the good. Did you catch that? We empty out the evil and we fill it up with good. As I shared with you that scripture a little while ago, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old has passed away. Old has passed away. Old has passed away. Everything has become new. We need to be concerned about the becoming new part. You know who the first person is that shakes your hand when you come out of the baptistry? The devil. The devil's right there. He's after you. He wants you back. So you need to fill your life with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You need to fill your life with Jesus. You need to fill your life with the right stuff. Hello. And it all starts with your thinking, where your mind dwells. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. You know what our problem is? Our problem is stinking thinking. If you shovel garbage into your mind, you will get garbage out. What does God think about this or that? What does the Bible think about this or that? What does Jesus think about this or that? You need to check it out in the Word of God. We're too much like the family that invited the preacher to the house to have pie after the services. And sitting around the kitchen table, the mother said to her son, "Honey, go into the living room and bring back and fetch the book that Mama and Daddy love to read and study all the time." And so the little fellow was gone for a little while, and then just in a moment he came back into the kitchen, and he came back with the Sears catalog. What do you read all the time? What are you thinking about all the time? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It starts out with your thinking. And then it continues with what you do. Be you doers of the word, not hearers only, receiving, deceiving your own selves. Real faith works, we know that. And that's what it says in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 through 10. It says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. And that's what we should do. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. It all culminates in the paradox of Christian freedom. Now, I can't explain this, but I know it works. We are freed from the slavery of sin and Satan, freed toward and for the slavery of Christ. That's a paradox. Paul often referred to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, even as a bondservant. That meant he was the total possession of, and that he belonged totally and completely to one's owner, and that one's owner being Jesus. You accept him as your Savior, but you make him your Lord. He's in charge of everything. You turn it all over to him. You've really only got two choices in this life. You can either be the slave of Satan or you can be the slave of Jesus. It's your choice. Be the slave of Satan and go to hell, or be the slave of Jesus and go to heaven. Which one do you want? Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we become baptized believers in Jesus, we become servants of righteousness. Romans the 6th chapter and verse 18. Then, being made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. He is the Lord and the Master of all. Peter T. Forsyth said it right when he said the first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. I'm going to close with this story. It kind of says everything that I've been saying. The freedom from, the freedom for, the freedom's not free in Jesus. It basically says it all in one little story. And I'll be done. And you can go to camp. And I've gone 5 minutes over what I normally do, so don't get nervous. Here is the story. Richard, it's a true story. Richard Hofler's book, Will Daylight Come, includes a homey illustration of how sin enslaves and forgiveness frees. A little boy visiting his grandparents was given his first slingshot. Never had owned one before, but he practiced in the woods and he became pretty good with it. He could, you know, pretty well hit whatever he aimed at. He came back to Grandma's backyard and he spied her pet duck. On an impulse, he took aim and he let her fly. And the stone hit that duck and the duck fell dead. Dead as a mackerel, deader than a doornail. The boy panicked. Desperately, he hid the dead duck in the woodpile, only to look up and see his sister was watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing at that moment. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny?" And she whispered in his ear, "Remember the duck." And so Johnny washed the dishes that day. Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper." And Sally smiled and she said, "That's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it." And again she whispered into his ear, "Remember the duck." Johnny stayed while Sally went fishing. And after several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's chores, finally he just couldn't stand it anymore. And he went to his grandma and he confessed to Grandma. He said, "Grammy," he said, "I killed the duck." And she looked at Johnny and she said, "I know, Johnny." And she gave him a big hug. She said, "I was standing at the window and saw the whole thing. And because I love you, I forgave you. I wondered how long you would let Sally make you a slave." Grace. Freedom in Jesus. Forgiveness. The blood of the Lamb. Oh, we are so blessed, aren't we, with these freedom truths today. We are so blessed to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. My question to you, as you celebrate this 4th of July, will you really, 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 really thank God for the freedom that you have? And do so by praising Him and showing honor to Him. Because we wouldn't be free if it weren't for Jesus. We would be lost in our sins forevermore. But look what we're freed from. We're freed from the debt of sin. We're freed from the dominance of sin. We're free from the slavery of Satan. We're free in Jesus. And man, there's nothing better in the world than the freedom that we have through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It's invitation time. Let's all stand together and sing this song as dedication, commitment to the Lord. Thank you for your kindness of staying a little longer. I'm going to have to cut it down from when I preach at Forsyth. They only give me 20 minutes down there. So I'll have a hard time making it through, but I'll do my best. Let's stand and sing this song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And sing it with me.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have
Any prayer requests? Over here first. Any prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Oh, boy. Okay. They're going to be working on his heart. Gary Hanger. Okay. And the 8th of July. Okay. Anybody else over here? Yes. Pete Dannon? Pete Dannon? On the, what day? July 15th. On his eyes. So Gary on his heart and Pete on his eyes. Anybody else? Pray for this young lady as she's going to church camp. And that you'll have a great week and you'll have one of the best weeks of camp you've ever had. Hope it's a great week. Over here, any prayers? Yes. Okay, she's in room 540. Anybody else over here? Yes. Yes, ma'am, we will. Pray for the country. Oh, no.
So please remember that family. I don't believe any of them have ever accepted Jesus.
So the Cruz family.
Yes.
That's the death of Kenny.
Brian.
Excuse me. Anybody else over here? We were reading. They mean more.
Jesus is there.
It means more because you're closer to heaven, you know. I would like for you to remember the Michael Nipper, family. About 4 weeks ago, I go fishing from time to time down in Forsyth, and I went to the fishing dock. And there was a fellow fishing on the fishing dock who was in a wheelchair. And he was paralyzed from his waist down, and he's over there fishing. So, you know, that kind of humbles you to stop griping about your situation when you could be a lot tougher shape. And the guy that was fishing was Mike Nipper. And he had attended the Forsyth Christian Church years ago, and I had met him and had known him, and so we had a nice visit and enjoyed spending the afternoon with him. Well, we were reading the obituaries yesterday, and he was in the obituaries. June the 17th, he had a heart attack and died. And he's, you know, guy in his 40s. And so you never know. You need to be ready for the Lord. And that was a shock to me. And I think about, you know, how blessed we are to have lived in this life for however many years we have. I'm just 69, and a lot of you all would say I'm just the pup still. But I feel older than I used to feel. And I think we all are getting, like Doc says, we're getting more reflective of our spiritual past. And present, and what is needed. Okay, if there are not any more prayers, then somebody's going to lead us in prayer. Let's bow. Stand together, and we'll be, after this, we'll be dismissed.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the freedom that you've given us, the sacrifice that you made, Father, that makes us whole, that makes us free, Father, from sin. I just thank you, Father, for blessing Jack as he preached the sermon this morning. Father, I pray that we take it to our hearts and understand, Father, that we are free, but it wasn't free. Father, you sacrificed everything for us. Help us, Father, to give our lives for you, to do the things that you want us to do the things, Father, that we need to do to bring others to you. I just ask your blessings on this day and the rest of the week to come, Father. I pray for those who are mentioned today. I pray, Father, that you would heal those, Father, who need healing. Touch those, Father, with comfort that need comfort, Father, in the passing of loved ones. I just pray, Father, that you watch over each of us and that you watch over those that you are sending, Father, to us. I just pray your blessings on that. And I ask that you watch over us and care for those this week, Father. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen.